is Jared and the GM. Game 6 is only 3.5 hours away. Preds and Stars tonight. Floyd, humor me here for a second.
Okay.
What if the Preds go out there and they beat Dallas tonight? Then do you give them a puncher's chance in a Game 7 at home and the reality that, hey, maybe they could win that series and then go into a St. Louis series and, you know, who knows?
No. Forget St. Louis.
Do you think even if they win tonight, they can win the series?
They could win the series?
Yeah.
Sure.
But you have nothing on St. Louis?
No.
So
and I only watched one period yesterday. But the period I saw, Winnipeg got one shot in the period.
I watched that whole series. I'd say this. I think Winnipeg, whatever the Predators have, I think Winnipeg has the same illness right now. But they have a worse goaltender. And I think that was really the problem for Winnipeg. Yesterday at the airport, though, I got very discouraged from the attitude I felt like it felt from the team. I was hoping for some kind of vibe that, you know, was a confident vibe or was, all right, going back to Dallas, going to take care of business vibe. And I didn't feel that. Robbie Stanley was also there from NHL.com. He joins us now. Robbie, one, did you feel the same vibe that I felt from the team? And two, does that matter tonight in your opinion?
Well, hey, guys. Yeah, first off, I think I did feel the same vibe that you felt, and it absolutely matters. I think confidence, especially this time of year, is huge. And let's be honest here. I mean, let's call a spade. If not for Pekka in Game 3, this series is over right now. The Stars have outplayed the Predators in 4 of the 5 games. And if it were not for a superhuman goaltending effort from Pekka in Game 3, the Predators aren't even playing in this game. So unless we see something completely different tonight in Game 6 that we haven't really seen in this series outside of maybe Game 2, it's difficult to have much confidence in this team. I think the Stars have just flat-out been the better team for the majority of this series, which I really just can't believe that I'm saying, given the way we thought about this series heading into it. I just have been very disappointed with the way that the Predators have played so far in this series. Their top guys have not had an impact in this series at all so far. And conversely, Dallas's top guys, they can pretty much do whatever they want to do out there right now. So all of that being said, it's not a very inspiring recipe for tonight in Game 6. But, you know, all you got to do is find a way to win one game, and then you've got a Game 7 on home ice. So we've certainly seen this core group of players do this before. But like I said, I would have to see something in Game 6 that's pretty different from what I've seen thus far in this series.
So my question to you is, what is the why here? Why? Why are we seeing this? Why are we seeing the lack of discipline, the lack of focus, the lack of winning puck battles? Good players play poorly, nothing offensively. Why? Like, what is going on with this team? Why?
Yeah, I mean, that's a phenomenal question. I mean, I think there's some different layers to it. I mean, some of it, I think especially from that Johansson line, I think some of it is they're trying to do too much. And they're not doing the simple things out there that makes you effective. I think sometimes Philip Forsberg in particular in this series has been guilty of trying to do way, way, way too much to try to overcompensate for some of the offensive chances that they just haven't been getting so far in this series. So I think that's certainly part of it. And then some of it, it's just uncharacteristic plays and not necessarily even uncharacteristic from this year, because I think they've been way up and down and inconsistent this year. But just given this group and this core group and what we've seen from them in the past 3 or 4 years, some of the plays have just been not characteristic of this team and their history. I think back to that third goal that Dallas scored the other night in Game 5. Jamie Benn just flat out beat Ryan Ellis to the puck and then shoved him aside like he was a little kid there in the corner. And it looked like Ryan Ellis wanted no part of going in that corner with Jamie Benn. And it's some of those things that I think when everybody harkens back to 2 years ago when this team went to the Stanley Cup final, yes, they had talent and a lot of things broke their way during that playoff run. But the thing that stood out to me the most is they just worked. I mean, they were relentless with their work ethic. And I'm not going to sit here and say that the Predators aren't trying in this series, because I think they are. And like I said, sometimes I think they've been trying too hard. But just the little things that you have to do in order to win games in the playoffs, I don't think they're doing that with any sort of regularity. And that, to me, is very befuddling.
Robbie, part of the disappointment you feel with our first line is only because their first line, or the Ben line, is just playing so well. What is it that we need to do to try to slow them down?
Yeah, well, the best thing to do is keep the puck away from them. I mean, they had the puck. That Sagan line had the puck the entire game last game. I mean, you when you're spending so much time playing defense against that group, they're eventually going to burn you. And I think Dallas has done such a good job in this series of really preventing the Predators from getting out of their own end. I mean, they've been so suffocating on their forecheck, and they've sealed off those boards so well that the Predators are just having a heck of a time getting out of their own zone and setting up an attack going the other way. And what's happening is you're seeing a lot of turnovers and a lot of just cycle plays by the Dallas Stars that are just hemming the Predators in their own zone. The Predators were credited with 19 giveaways in Game 5, which is a very large number. I would suspect that they were probably actually more like the 25-30 range in terms of their giveaways. I mean, they were turning the puck over left and right in Game 5. And P.K. Subban talked about it a little bit after Game 5, and he said, you know, we're trying too many stretch plays and too many of these passes that are 100-foot passes and, you know, 80-foot passes. Instead of making those simple plays and staying close together and giving yourselves some realistic passing lanes to get out, and they've got to adjust to that tonight, because it seems like the Dallas Stars are waiting along the boards, waiting for the Predators to try those little chip plays off the wall or one of those 100-foot stretch passes, and it's just not working. And when the Predators try to do that, Dallas is turning that puck over and coming right back at them. So I think for the Predators, puck management is key, especially against that top line, that Tyler Seguin line. If you turn the puck over against those guys, which they did a couple times the other night, it's going to be back in the back of your net quicker than you can imagine.
They have one of the real interesting aspects of this whole thing is, you know, usually when you go into a game, and I think you see this with Dallas, where their good players are playing so good that it kind of lifts everybody else up. And maybe guys that aren't necessarily great players, or maybe guys that are really young, all of a sudden are playing pretty darn good. And it seems like we've almost gone the other way with ours. You know, we've had some good players that haven't been playing up to par. And it seems like they're pulling some of the guys that have been playing good down.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Stars coach Jim Montgomery said it the best the other night. He said every guy on his team right now wants the puck. They want the puck on their stick. They want to be able to make a play with it. And I just don't think you can say the same about the Predators right now. I think the Stars are an infinitely more confident team than the Predators are right now. I mean, there was a video the National Hockey League released a couple hours ago of the Stars mic'd up, and I think it was after that third goal they scored, where the Stars are literally saying in their huddle when they're celebrating a goal that the Predators are scared of them. I mean, they're literally saying that in their huddle. So I just think the Stars, their confidence right now is at an all-time high. And given the way they played in games 3, 4, and 5, I mean, who could blame them? I mean, even game 3 where they lost, in the second and third periods of that game, they totally dominated that game. They were totally dominant in game 4, and they dominated large stretches of game 5. So I think the Predators are lacking some confidence right now. They're not sure at times what to do out there, and I think that's leading to some of these penalties and the frustration that we're seeing out there, because they just don't seem to have an answer for Dallas and what they've been able to do to them in this series so far.
Robbie Stanley, NHL.com, is our guest. How much of this is Peter Laviolette's fault?
I mean, he certainly shares some blame in this. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, like I've seen a lot of people say on social media to me, that the Predators should consider firing him, because I don't think they should. I mean, I think he's a very good coach, and you don't get 3 separate organizations to the Stanley Cup final if you're not a good coach. But there's no question in my mind that he has been out-coached in this series by Jim Montgomery. I think the Stars have been able to adjust to what the Predators do far better than the Predators have been able to adjust to what the Stars do. So there's no question that Peter Laviolette and the coaching staff share some blame in what's going on. No question about it. But also, I mean, a lot of it's just on the players too. Some of these guys that you're relying on to execute are not doing. I mean, Ryan Ellis has not had a good series. Matthias Ekholm, I think, has played some of the worst hockey of his career.
He's got to be hurt, right? Ekholm has to be hurt, right?
I mean, you would think so. I mean, he has been very, very uncharacteristic of himself in this series. So I think there's plenty of blame to go around as to why this series has gone the way it's gone so far. But if there was ever a time to make an adjustment and change the way you're going to do something and change up your attack, it's now in game six, because I think the Stars have a pretty good bead as to what the Predators are trying to do out there.
What would that be, Robbie? How could they change it at this point?
Well, I mean, one of the things you got to do is, I think, starts with puck management. But number two, I go back to what I was talking about with breaking out of the zone. To me, that's where a lot of this starts. The Predators can't get out of their own end, and that's getting them hemmed in there. So I think whether it's changing the way you break out of the zone, changing the routes you take on the breakout, I'm not sure how much of that you can change in a two-day span. But to me, I think the Predators have got to adjust in that area, because if they don't, I think they're going to continue to struggle breaking out of their own zone. And if you continue to turn the puck over in the neutral zone, or turn the puck over in your own end trying to get out of there, and it's just constantly coming back the other way, obviously, I mean, that's not a very good recipe for success. So to me, that's the one area I look to change. I mean, I don't think you can change the power play at this point. I don't think schematically, X's and O's wise, you can change a whole lot. But I think they have to change the way they break out of the zone, because it's not been working.
A Game 6 win, Robbie Stanley with us. A Game 6 win tonight would mean what for the series and the team?
Well, certainly it's a huge shot in the arm for the Predators, but consistency-wise, I just haven't seen a whole lot of it from the Predators in this series. So obviously, if you win tonight, it's a Game 7, and anything can happen. I mean, maybe Ben Bishop has a leaky game. Maybe you figure something out against the Stars tonight that you haven't been able to figure out at all in this series, then that carries over to Game 7. So there's no question, once you get it to a Game 7, anything can happen. But like I said, I would have to see something in this Game 6 for the Predators for a full 60 minutes that I really haven't seen much at all, outside of maybe Game 2, where I thought the Predators were pretty good.
What happens tonight?
It's hard for me to believe, just based on what I've seen the last few games, that the Predators come out of there with a win tonight. So before the series started, I said Predators in 6 games. Obviously, that's wrong at this point, but I would be surprised, just based on the way the last 3 games have gone, if the Predators eke out a win tonight.
Robbie Stanley, NHL.com. Robbie, appreciate it. We look forward to talking soon.
Thanks, Robbie.
Thanks, boys.
Yep, Robbie Stanley, NHL.com. I didn't want to say there at the end when I say look forward to talking to you soon, because I do look forward to talking to Robbie, and I love having Robbie on the show, that it, you know, maybe a little bit if they do what he said that they were going to do tonight, because I mean, I'm telling you right now, if they lose tonight, tomorrow's show will be all about this, and then we're on to the draft. You know, I mean, at that point, draft, and then what happens after the draft, and then we'll get back to the Preds after that. I'm hopeful, and I am planning on this, because I think I learned this working, you know, in ops and women's basketball. I learned that you always plan like this. Like, we would always plan, you know, the itinerary would take us to the Big East Championship game, or we would always plan when we go to the NCAA tournament, we'd always plan on winning the first game. Would always have the plan would be, you know, through the weekend, even if we didn't win the first game. I am planning on Jared and the GM with a Game 7 Wednesday, with the NFL draft on Thursday, with Game 1 against St. Louis on Friday. That is my plan. And boy, that's going to be a lot of work for Ian if that happens. I mean, that is going to be a lot of long hours for Ian. But Ian does a great job, so Floyd, I'm not really worried about that in that regard. Your phones and your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. We're live in the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. in Mount Julia. Unlike Robbie, I'm not as down on the idea that they could win Game 6. But if they do, I'm not sure how much I can read into that. We'll get into it next. Jared, the GM, it's ESPN 1025, the Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Would we rather be up 3-2? Sure. But we're not. We got to win a hockey game tonight. Once we win a hockey game today, we'll wake up tomorrow and we'll deal with it when it comes. But I think that there's confidence in our group and to be able to understand what we need to do in order to be successful and then to execute it. So we'll be ready to play.
Peter Laviolette earlier today, got to win tonight. Yes, you do. Let me say this. If they win, Floyd, and I think there's a chance they win tonight. If they win, I'm not getting giddy over it. Because they've done this way too many times where when you think they're going to lose, they win, and then they get everybody's hopes all excited, and then they go out there game seven against Winnipeg and, you know, get their rear end smacked. Or for example, Colorado last year, they won game four, come back game five, okay, knock them out, see ya, lose game five at home. So that's what they do. So if they win today, I'm not getting giddy about it, but obviously it would beat the alternative of if they lose.
And Dallas is, you know, Dallas knows they have two shots at it, two bites at the apple. And so, you know, it's not the end of the world. I think when they approach this game, you know, we always like the needing something badly kind of image, and this is it. I mean, this is like NFL playoffs now. You got one game and you're home.
So Robbie Stanley tweeted this out and alluded to it. Dallas, after they scored the third goal, I believe this was Jamie Benn who was saying it, their captain, but they as a group came together to celebrate. Somebody was mic'd up or they caught him. This is what they were saying after they scored on the Predators the other night.
They're scared,
boys.
Is that the Ellis...
Probably
knocked out of the well. Probably a lot of people yelling that after they saw that.
You know the worst part about that? I think they're right. I think these players, I said this about the Predators after game one, I think they're soft. I think they are such a soft team. Rene, no. Most of these guys, yes. I think they are a soft team. Just soft. And I would tell you who's number one on my list, but I'd probably get in trouble if I did that. Let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025. Jim is up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Jim?
Doing great, guys. Couple comments. Yes, I think they're going to win tonight. I totally agree with what you said. They're going to win, and we're going to have a game seven. Hopefully we can get our hopes up and we can pull that through. Two questions for you. One, tell me what you think about the Preds over the last 3 years offensively, as far as you see Winnipeg, you see the Penguins, you see Dallas, they get the ball down on our end, they get the puck down on our end, and they move it fluidly. They have great shots. It doesn't seem like in the past 3 or 4 years since I've been watching them, we're very fluid when we have the puck on the opponent's side and get just really good quality shots like a lot of these teams do on us. And that may just be me, I don't know, but I've always thought that, man, these teams, other teams move the puck well against you. It's like, bang, look at that shot. They got a great shot. Why aren't we getting those? And two, if we lose this game tonight and the Preds go away, what happens next year as far as players? I haven't really studied that. Do we lose anybody?
So that would be a tomorrow discussion if, in fact, that is an issue tomorrow. Thank you for your call, Jim. That is a tomorrow discussion, although I think there are going to be major changes if they lose tonight. As far as puck movement, don't watch a Colorado Avalanche. Do not watch them play. Holy crap, the way they move the puck. And did you see who scored twice for them in their put-down game of Calgary? I mean, Colin Wilson is not just a contributor on that team. Colin Wilson had two goals, including one on the power play. Colin freaking Wilson! Which is so funny because I told after game one, because I think Mikael Granlund sucks. And I told Adam Vingan that I'd rather have Colin Wilson than Mikael Granlund. Mikael Granlund doesn't do anything. And Adam Vingan was like, I dare you to go on the radio with that take. So I actually forgot Friday night when Colin Wilson had two goals on the power play. I forgot to ask Adam, you know, what do you think of trying to make fun of my take that I'd rather have Colin Wilson than Mikael Granlund? I forget what he said back, but, you know, I mean, he's like, no, everyone knows Colin Wilson's a playoff player. Well, I mean, I don't care. Okay, by the way, and let's just throw this out there, and I know I'm going to be singing a different tune in February next year. Other than getting into the playoffs, does the regular season matter at all?
No.
After what happened to Tampa Bay?
No.
Does it matter at all? I can't. I mean, after the last 3 years of what we've watched, 8th seed cup final, Tampa out, you out, President's Trophy. You cannot make me think for a second that regular season has any bearing on anything at all. Let's go to Nathan, who's up next. Go ahead, Nathan.
What's going on, guys? Well, you were bringing up the Winnipeg, and it seems like I'm seeing the same thing in this series that I seen when we played the Winnipeg last year, and that's the fact that when we beat them, it's just like a bloody battle. And when they
skin
beat
of
us,
your
like
teeth wins and butt kickings.
Yeah, exactly. And the similarities that I'm seeing between those two this year and last year is the fact I think it's in our defense, because when the other team has the puck and they're coming into our side of the rink, it seems as though the Preds just, like, back up into this zone soft defense, as almost as if the other team is on, like, a power play or something. We're just soft. And that results in them seems to – they just pass it at their leisurely, and then they can just pepper our goal with shots. And they're going to start going in. We got lucky in Game 3, but then we've seen it in Game 4. They just go in. The other side of that is when we're on their side of the ice, we can't even think to pass it to one of our guys because they're just in our face. So the best we do is just – we just blast it around the back of their goalie and hope that our guy is there, and it's not there. The answer is if we bust up their offense, you know, and we play defense the way they play defense, I think we're going to do all right. We just got to step up our defense.
That's what they've got to do. Thank you for the call. I totally agree. They have got to pack it in defensively and say we're willing to win 1-0. That's what they have to do. I'm convinced of it in this series. They're not going to do it, but that's what I'm convinced that I feel like they need to do. More of your phone, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And Floyd, help me out here.
Yes, sir.
Why do the Preds have so many quote-unquote good players that are playing so poorly? We'll discuss. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't miss a second of the action during the Preds playoff run. No matter the area, Dos Equis has you covered with a lineup of Preds Dos Equis viewing destination locations. Fill up game day with something interesting. Dos Equis locations include MJ's Sports Bar in Murfreesboro, the Bar in Kubota, Japanese Steakhouse in Gullitsville, Meat Cancun in Smyrna, and the Rusty Nail in Hermitage. Scoreboard Bar and Grill on Music Valley Drive, and Party Foul in Nashville, Murfreesboro, and Donaldson. For a full listing of Preds Dos Equis viewing destinations, go to thegamenashville.com. Embellish your stories wildly and enjoy Dos Equis responsibly. Jared and Floyd, Jared and the GM, CSPN 102.5 The Game.
Just execute, do the things that we've done all year that have brought us success. So, but we got to bring more juice.
Just got to bring more juice. That's what it is, Floyd. PK Subban says got to bring more juice.
Yes, I would agree. Among other things, we got a whole laundry list.
Do you think these players think that this is going to be that simple? Hey, just got to play our game. Bring more juice. Do you think they think it's going to be that simple? Or do you think they really understand what they have got to be able to do tonight starting and then going forward in order to win this series?
Well, I'm sure they know. Now, that's really not the question. The question is, does it mean anything? And I don't know the answer to that.
Why are so many quote-unquote good players, and I put PK on the list because he was horrible the other night, why are so many good players playing so poorly? The Joe Faline, Yossi Ellis, Ekholm. I mean, so many guys that are counted on guys have just stunk up the joint in this series. Why? And what do you make of that?
I mean, nothing good. I don't know, you know, I don't know how you can look at it any other way than, you know, we're certainly headed, this whole thing is trending in the wrong direction.
I mean, you know why I think the Rams had no chance in the Super Bowl?
Why?
Todd Gurley was hurt. If Todd Gurley wasn't hurt, and Todd Gurley was effective running the football, they would have had a puncher's chance in the Super Bowl. But because Todd Gurley was hurt, they just put it all on Jared Goff, who's not their money guy. Their money guy is Todd Gurley. They put it all on Jared Goff, and Jared Goff couldn't do it. And because Brady was not, you know, having to go drop back 7 steps and put the Patriots back in the game, they didn't need – you know, Donald and Sue couldn't take over that game, so the money guys for the Rams could not take over that game in large part because they couldn't move the football with Todd Gurley's injury. This is like that, except none of your guys are injured. To me, it's just a lack of commitment from the team, and I don't know what I attribute that to. Because the reality is here, so a caller asked about, you know, this reminds him of the Winnipeg series last year. The difference is this Dallas team is an okay team. They are an okay team with a lot of confidence and a nice little goaltender, but they are okay. They are not a really good team. Last year's Winnipeg team was a really good team. This team is not that good, this Dallas Stars team. They got some good players. And I told you at the start of the series, I was like, hey, Ben, Sagan, Radulov are good players. They have good players, but they're not a good team. They're not a really, really good team. They're an okay team. And that's what I think is really the most depressing part. And why are these guys playing so terribly? The guys, the money guys, why? And I don't think anybody has an answer for that. Oh, yeah, you know, we got to step it up. Got to bring more juice. Okay, PK. Let's go to your phones. James is up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, James?
Hey, not much. Jared, thanks for taking my call. I know you mentioned it a couple segments ago where you said you couldn't mention it on the radio. I guess I can. I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. I got 2 points. I think our major problems on team, Ellis, he's getting ragdolled. I mean, it's just obviously he can't play with them guys. He's just getting pushed around. And then also Yarncroke, man, he's just having mental lapses on the ice. I do not know what's going on with him. And then the second point, I don't know if you could go back and listen to the tape of the post game. I thought I heard Pekka almost throw in the towel and say that he said something to the effect that anybody that plays that team, they're going to have a hard time beating them. It's almost like he was already tossing in the towel. I'll let you guys talk about that.
So you could tell in Pekka's postgame, thank you for your call, you could tell in Pekka's postgame that he was frustrated with the loss and all of that and gave Dallas credit, but I didn't get that sense from Pekka. I think Pekka's mad at his teammates. And Pekka has never thrown teammates under the bus and does not throw teammates under the bus. And I mean, this may be the closest he ever gets to throwing teammates under the bus, which was not even close to throwing teammates under the bus. But I think Pekka's mad at his teammates.
Yeah,
I
mean, he won't start that now.
But I think you can see it a little bit. Like, for the first time since I've been following the team, I can see him. I can see his frustration with the guys in front of him. And that's a really, really bad spot to be in. And I'll say it like this. If Pekka gives up on those guys, then you got to get a bunch of new guys. If he gives up on them, you got to get a bunch of, because Pekka will, to me, I think Pekka gives everybody more leash than they should ever have. And if Pekka starts to give up on some of these guys, you got to get new guys in there. Mark on the leadership of the Predators. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys, what's going on? Hey, everybody talks. I hear people talking about Lahti. People talking about, is it an effort fault? Is it the guy's fault? To me, it all kind of comes down to one thing, and a caller touched on it earlier this week. You look who we brought in, and we brought in Cody McLeod, for heaven's sake. You know, there's only one reason you bring him in. You look at a guy like Granlund, he comes into a new locker room. The way I see it is he doesn't really know who the leader is. You know, we always talk about it in football. You got two quarterbacks, you don't have one. You know, if we have three or four guys that are kind of chipping in, but there's no one real leader stepping up, that's a problem. You know, you can't tell me that guys like Ekholm and Ellis and those guys would get away with the stupid penalties and lazy passes they have if Shea Weber was still there.
But they're the leaders. They're the leaders.
Yeah, but just because you put an A or a C on somebody doesn't mean that you're a leader.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you for your call, Mark. And if you were talking the phone, I may have let you go a little bit longer. But I agree wholeheartedly. And Floyd, I think you can back me up on this. Just because you call somebody the captain does not make him the leader of a team, or does not mean that he is a good leader of a team, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And that usually the cream rises to the top with leadership in a locker room or a team. But I do think that, you know, at some point, your leaders have to do something. They have to produce to save your team. They have to say, hey, I'm the guy. Give it to me. Let me take care of this. And I go back to, I don't know if you remember this play in the Cup Final in 2017. Mike Fisher, James Neal makes a play on the board, gets it up to Mike Fisher. Mike Fisher lunges out with his stick and pokes it ahead of the defender to Arvidsson on a breakaway who scores. Just an unbelievable effort and unbelievable play from Mike Fisher. How many of those plays have they had in this series? I mean, the best play that they've probably had in this series was a play in which Mikhail Granlund said he only shot it because he couldn't pass it.
Sad.
I mean, that's probably the best they've got. So, I mean, yes, I do I do think that there is a leadership issue with the team. And they may win tonight, they may win the next game, and then go on to the whatever. Where I sit today, I do think that there is a leadership issue with this team. I do. I think that there's an accountability issue. You know, Ryan Johansson the other day said, oh, we're a very accountable group. Are you really? I thought accountability, Floyd, was not leaving your man on defense to go right in front of the net and score. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, again, accountability only matters if you get called on it. If you if nobody calls you on it, then it's you're not holding people accountable. And I don't know who in there would be calling people on it. Mm-hmm. I don't know who in there would want that job. I don't know who in there would have the clout to do it besides Pekka. I mean, we know Pekka would, but Pekka won't do it.
But do Yossi and Ellis right now have the room to call people to be accountable
That's
right now?
That's it.
Ellis can't win a puck battle in the corner.
Absolutely
right. And Yossi leaves his man in front of the net.
So how can you, I mean, you can't, that's why players can't do that. It's not their job. I mean, again, we want the players to be leaders. The guys that you want to lead the team, you never appoint. They lead the team because they rise to the top. Mm-hmm. The other players see it. The other players know it. Just because you put a C on a guy's chest means nothing. The guy that the true leaders, whoever they are, will rise to the top, and everybody in that locker room will know him. And if that guy gets up and says something, then it makes a difference.
I'll give you an example. Do you think, and you know how they give out C's and A's and stuff, they give it to the good players and that kind of, do you think Mike Vrabel, anywhere that he ever was in his career as a football player, would have been a guy that people would have said, he's our captain, come buy your tickets to see Captain Mike Vrabel? But then you hear, like, Chris Sanders played with Vrabel at Ohio State and said from day one, Mike Vrabel was a get up in front of the team, hold people accountable, tell them what to do, that was the kind of player he was, made a career out of it, and has now gone on the other side and is coaching that way.
Because he calls you out on it. He calls you out. And if you don't have anybody to do that, then you got no leadership. You got nothing. All those guys sitting in there and they're all grumbling at each other or grumbling to themselves about, geez, if that guy would have made this play or if that guy would have done this, would have been totally different. But they never say anything about it. So what do? They go home and it just festers. And then, you know, at some point in time, maybe it comes out, maybe it doesn't, but it certainly affects your performance. And that's why I don't, you know, we can talk all we want about players' leadership. But, you know, maybe you have them and maybe you don't. But by putting a C on their chest does not make them a leader.
Back to your phones. But first, an NFL draft minute. Floyd, and this is going to be a little bit longer than a minute, but we will get back to your Preds calls. Floyd, I think the dream scenario may be unfolding in front of our eyes with the Titans for their pick at 19. We will get to that next. And whether or not we buy the latest news surrounding the dream player, I believe, at 19 for the Titans. Jared the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. First, I'm supposed to tell you all about how great the NHL Pick'em is because everybody loves the NHL Pick'em. Hold on. I got it somewhere around here. Okay, play the game Nashville's NHL Pick'em today for your chance to win some great Preds prizes, including tickets to a 2019-2020 regular season home game and much, much more. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details. Sign up and enter your picks before the puck drops for each game of each round. This is a daily contest, so you have to make your picks prior to each game. Jared the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on.
John, how do you feel like the strength of this draft match up with the needs of the football team?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of good football players at a lot of different positions in this draft. You know, there's obviously some, you know, some premium players that are going to go really high. And then, but I think the depth of the draft, you know, whether it's, you know, in the second, third, fourth, fifth round, it, you know, we say this all the time, it really doesn't matter how you get here. What matters is what you do once you get here. So, you know, we feel like our you know, the draft board is in pretty good shape, and see how it unfolds this week.
I mean, why even have a press conference for John Robinson before the draft? He had the first one before his first year, and I'm pretty sure he said that every subsequent year since. Do the needs of the draft kind of fit with your team and what they got? There's a lot of good players in this draft, and, you know, we're going to get a good football player at 19, or maybe earlier if we trade up, or maybe later if we trade down. Said 2016, 17, 18, and now 19.
And it'll be 20 and 21 and 22, and as long as he's doing it.
As long as he doesn't get fired.
It'll be the same thing.
Good in that regard. Were you better at answering those kind of questions than him? Where it literally could have been any year that John Robinson just said that. Yeah, I'm going to guess you probably were a little bit better.
I doubt it. I don't know. I don't remember. Yeah, you just get up there and you're – I mean, all you're doing is telling them what they want to hear.
Oh, yeah, except telling them anything that matters.
They're 90% of the questions people ask, they give you the answer. All you have to do is say it. I mean, it's silly.
Okay, so the dream player, in my opinion, in the draft for the Titans is Montez Sweat. If Montez Sweat gets to the Titans at 19, that, in my opinion, is the dream scenario. And I hate doing this because you never know who's a good player and who's not when you're on the outside looking in. Now, you would have a better opinion than most people. But what's the difference to me between Ja'Kai Polite and Montez Sweat? It's that everybody tells me that Montez Sweat's good and everybody tells me Ja'Kai Polite's bad. But I still think, Montez Sweat is the dream player. Well, now there are some reports out there that Montez Sweat, that he may fall out of the first round because of a heart issue that was discovered at the combine, and that he's not even going to attend the draft in fear that he may fall out of the first round. Floyd, does that mean the Titans have a shot at 19 in Montez Sweat? Could that to me, that is the dream player in this draft. Could they get Montez Sweat this year based upon what you think and what you're hearing and all of that?
Well, I mean, you don't know what their doctors are saying. Their doctors might be the ones that are saying, hey, don't touch him.
So that's the problem, is that if no one else wants to draft him because of a heart issue, then do you want to be the one that drafts him with the heart issue?
Yeah, because God forbid you bring him in and something awful happens.
Which with heart, that is the only alternative.
Be the next owner of the team. His family will.
Well, I mean, that's not going to happen. But, I mean, I'm more worried about something on the practice field happening and it being, you know, serious.
Oh, yeah, catastrophic.
But I think he's the dream player in this draft. And maybe if it's a rumor of a heart issue. Now, I remember Ian Rappaport came out and said that it's not that big of a deal. And then it kind of died off. And Montez Sweat was in the top 10 and the top 5 on, like, every draft, mock draft that they had out there. Again, not sure if that means anything, but I am convinced Montez Sweat is the dream player for the Titans in this draft.
I don't think. I mean, the teams, I mean, like I said before, one of the things they do at the combine is they give you a true world-class physical. And that's where it was discovered. And so every team in the league will have some form of the same information about whatever is wrong with that heart. And there'll be some teams that will bring him in for an additional workup of some sort. And there'll be some teams that won't. But when you put together your medical grade on all these guys, I mean, there'll be some doctors that'll say, oh no, we can't touch that guy. And other doctors will say, no, we can deal with that. We'll have to be careful about this or worry about that. But that's like things like diabetes and, you know, things like that players come in with. And you say, yeah, we can deal with it, but you've got to be careful here, there. And
any shot they get Sweat, if Sweat passes the muster in terms of the heart, is there any shot they get him
in? If he's going to pass our physical, then he'll pass a bunch of physicals.
And if that's the case, any shot he gets to 19?
No.
Okay, so I'm pretty much getting my hopes up for Montez Sweat for no reason.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, what about Simmons, the defensive tackle who's probably not going to play this year, torn ACL. I think Todd McShay said, I heard him say this week, he thinks that Jeffrey Simmons is going to go higher than people expect just because of the talent that is there. Could you take him at 19?
Oh, I don't. Again, this would be a doctor's call. But, I mean, he's coming off an ACL. Now, he is really a good player, and he would fit, you know, what we're trying to do. I mean, he would help us, but he won't help us if the knee is not, you know, 1,000%. And so that'll be the doctors once again at the combine. Everybody goes through this, and they check it out, and they run a million tests. And so they know everything there is to know about that knee. And once again, the doctors will, you know, put a medical grade on it, and then it'll be up to J-Rob to pull the trigger or not.
I do wonder if, and this is just me, I do wonder, like, who the dream player is. Who is the Javon Curse in this draft, the Albert Haynesworth of this draft, that you may be able to plug at 19, that you may be able to get at 19, that turns into a superstar and is a sacker? And well, I'm trying to figure out
those guys.
That guy,
whoever that guy is, will probably fall to you. I mean, that'll be one of those that you'll be wondering, well, you know, why is he still there? What's going on? And that's why, that's like last year with J-Rob. That's why he ends up, you know, jumping up, because he's looking and the guy is falling and he's thinking, man, oh man, we could use that guy. And it gets to a point in time where you either say, okay, I'm going to go up a couple and get him, or you're going to, you know, drop to your knees and say a few prayers and hope he drops.
Speaking of the NFL draft, I hope everybody joins us on the Bridgestone Arena Plaza for our NFL draft, for the NFL draft first round coverage. We will be live on Bridgestone Arena's Plaza breaking down the first. Everyone's going, where are you going to be downtown? You know, this bar's booked, that bar's booked, this place you can't get in, that place you can't. Bridgestone Arena Plaza is the place to be. And I have been told that there is a backup plan in case of rain. And Floyd, I'm hearing 100% chance of rain for Thursday night, which I hate.
Really?
I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But I'm hearing 100% chance. But I'm just saying that our party with Bridgestone Arena is going, there is a backup plan in case of rain. And then on Saturday at the draft, I hope to see a lot of people at the NFL draft experience. You know the draft experience they have downtown?
Oh, yeah.
They're having the NFL, the free NFL draft experience. You know, they do at the Super Bowl and the combines and the things like that. Well, I hope to see everybody there, especially Saturday, where Tostitos Cantina will host a series of intimate conversations with current and former NFL players while providing fans an opportunity to get up close and personal with their favorite heroes of the game. Be sure to join yours truly and Delaney Walker for a Chalk Talk session on Saturday at the NFL Draft Experience, courtesy of Tostitos Cantina. So, you know, very excited about that one as well, that I'll be hanging out there. A special thanks to everybody putting that on, that's doing it for the NFL or whatever. And it's going to be so much fun. The Plaza party, the Friday, the Saturday. This is what I think my weekend's going to look like. I think you're going to have a game 7 on Wednesday, maybe a game 1 on Friday. The draft on Thursday will be at Bridgestone Arena, and then I got to do that draft experience thing with Tostitos. And it's just going to be so much fun. So much fun. Jared of the GM coming up next. Do we think the Preds have it in them? And is it a do you have it in you moment? We will discuss that is next. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on.